York Theatre Royal podcast, where we interview industry professionals and get an insight into the theatre world.
I'm Henry.
And I'm Jessie.
In this episode, we interview Lydia Cottrell, co-director of Slap Festival, York's Pay What You Can contemporary performance festival.
So we started off in 2013, I think it was, around a pub table.
Slap Festival is on from the 20th to the 23rd of February across the city of York, hence why this episode is coming out a bit earlier than usual so you can all get your tickets on time.
Hope you enjoy.
Lydia Cottrell and Alessandra Kelly from Slap Festival. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Hey.
So you just want to give a little introduction into yourselves and kind of give the listeners sort of a bit of background about you.
Background about me. So I would say I'm a performer and a dancer, and I come from a dance background, but also now moving into the field of curation and producing and creating experiences and events for people. I've danced and performed all over, making my own work and being in other people's work. And when I did that, I saw lots of really cool shows that I really wanted to give a platform to. So that's kind of been my mission for the past few years.
Great. So how did you start as an artist on your own?
Starting on my own. Yeah. So I would say I had kind of two starts as an artist. I did one where I went to a complete vocational school and trained in ballet and dance, and then went off and worked commercially in that sort of thing. And then after that, I went to university, and I went to York St. John University. And when I was there, I was really lucky to start working with someone, Sophie Unwin, who's the other half of Slap, who isn't here today. Created some work together, a 70-30 split, and that went off and toured. And then also I was really lucky to start working with Gary Clark, the choreographer. And then it just kind of went from there. We made one work, a 70-30 split, that got mentioned in Dance Europe and was picked up as the top moment, dance moment of the year in The Guardian.
Wow.
And things like that. And as we were doing that, we kind of went from nothing to quite quick in our careers, and we were touring and going around and performing at a lot of festivals, actually, like New Work festivals and things like that. And we saw such, like, all of this amazing, great contemporary performance that might be smaller in scale, but, like, big in ideas. And we're like, wow, this stuff's so great. And we were decided, why don't we bring that to York? We saw a real gap in the market, that there was no one else programming that sort of work. And also the work that we were making as well. We've still never performed in York ourselves, a 70-30 split. It might happen sometime in the future, but that's never happened yet. But and as we met all of these artists, we started to think about how's a way that we can support other artists and then also support audiences and help have a good exchange for artists to create new work in a supported way and present that, and for audiences to experience new work. So that's how we came up with the idea of Slap.
Slap is on from the 20th to the 23rd of February. So how many years has it been going now?
So we started off in 2013, mm-hmm. I think it was, around a pub table, a group of us, there was a few more people around then. And we were just like, yeah, let's just do this. Let's do a performance event. And we had absolutely no money or anything like that. But luckily, we bumped into, it was the Beautiful Meme, actually, who were a design company based in York then. They gave us a couple of hundred quid to buy some beers. And we got, through Salt and Powell, an unused office space. And we just got all of our friends to come and perform. And that's how we started. Then after that, I think we did one in the Golden Ball. We did one in the Duchess nightclub. And we've done stuff at the street there. We did some things for some festivals. And all that time, we had no money or anything like that. And we just pulled, begged, borrowed, and stealed, and got our friends to perform, kind of. But friends that we'd met from further afield and brought over. Then, over the past few years, we started doing some more structured events. And we got our first Arts Council funding. Gosh, I can't remember now. Was it 2008? Maybe 2015? Mm-hmm. And we did a series of events. Some of those were out in the city. We did our first ever slap over then, where we invited artists, and that was in an unused office space again. That seems to be a theme. And we had a group of artists there to create work together. And then some of those artists we've continued to work with. That was, yes, a long time ago. And we did different platforms. We partnered with Yorkshire Dance to do a dance platform called Slap Muse, which has had three outgoings now, and that's continued on and developed and worked. Then in 2017, we did our first, like, few day event which was the Slap Weekender, and we were selected by Yorkshire Dance and Joe Charitable Foundation as part of their Artist Curating Dance Programme. And so that's what we did. We brought a bunch of different artists over 3 days to perform in York. And we really enjoyed that process, and it actually made us like expand and grow. We were like, how can we do this again? And we decided we liked the idea of Slap as a festival and with other activity around that. So then we went into the idea of, we planned when would be a good time to do a festival in York, and we came up with February just because students have handed in a lot of stuff and by their modules finished
well,
up
hopefully
and they've got a little bit of freer time. And also after January, when everyone's skint, people have got some money again, are kind of itching to do something. So we thought that would be a good place in the calendar. But when we had that idea, that was in right at the start of 2018. So we were like February 2019. And then we're like, what can we do up to that? So we did a series of events through the city every couple of months. So we did in April, we did Slap Moves again, which was our student and recent graduate platform. And the winners of that were Northern Rascals. So we've actually gave them some money and some support and space and rehearsal space to create their work, which will then be presented as part of the festival this year.
Is that dance work?
Yeah, it's dance work. So, well, Slap Moves is for students and graduates. It will happen again April 2020. And we use the term move in the loosest way possible. So we've had film as part of it before, we've had all sorts of different things. We're a cello player and stuff like that. So even though it's because we have partnered with dance organisations with that, but again, Yorkshire Dance, York Dance Space, they all support such a wide breadth of work, so it doesn't have to be dance at all. But this time it was a dance work, but it was aimed at family audiences, so that's going to be Slap's first ever family-friendly show, which we're really excited about, which is going to be really cool. So that was what we did in April. Then in June, we presented Jamal Gerald's Dogmatic as part of the Festival of Ideas, and we partnered up with them. Then in the summer, we did a project in partnership with the Mediali and York St. John University. So we invited 5 artists over. Well, we invited an open call, and we had to wade through so many amazing applications. It was really crazy, really hard work. We were only meant to select 4, but we had to select 5 in the end because we just couldn't get it down. And we had Min Young Im, who's York-based now, but is from South Korea. We had Roderick Morgan, who's London-based now, but from New Zealand. We had Ali Matthews. She's actually going to present in this festival as well, coming up in February. As we had Fran Bundy and Aaron Howell. And yeah, they worked together for a week to create new work. And that was then presented as part of the Mediali Festival at the Medical Society. So kind of that really, working with that, it really inspired them. So they had the idea, they're using medical sort of stuff, but the idea around that the future is cancelled, and they all created different work. And when you went in, there was just lots of different experiences. You could go to a bar that was like a future bar, but you couldn't just pick what you wanted. You have to have your basic observations done. So if your blood pressure was too high, the bar person was like, no, sorry, you can't actually have a drink. Or everything was served in just one unit. So you had, I think, stubby beers, some red wine in one unit, or you could have white or brown. And it was just one unit measure of gin or scotch, and that was it. It was a really cool idea around the idea that, yeah, you don't, in the future, because you'll be like cigarette warnings and things like that, that's how it'll be. Then we had Fran doing amazing DJing, and you would pick a song and she would like bend it and warp it and stuff like that. So it's like the last song you'd ever want to hear in the world. And Ali Matthews did this whole auctioning off the last of everything from plastic surgery to the last cigarette. And people had headphones, they could switch between channels, and it was really great because they might have been watching the auction for a while, and every single time, as soon as people heard the last cigarette was being auctioned off, about 10 people around the building ran to the window and was like, I want that last cigarette, and stuff like that. And we had Matt Allen there as well, and he made this interactive game app on your phone to play, which was, yeah, it was really, really great experience, and just using that building in a completely different way. And with that, we took a step back, because we just give the artists, we pay them, house them, and pay them a full fee and everything like that, and just let them have free reign. And they found that a really positive experience, because they weren't tied into anything and they could just do whatever felt right for them at that point. And the last thing we did last year was Slap Chat, which is just a little meeting that we did for, well, really loose and chill, for people to talk about what they want about from the creative scene in York and what is needed. And a big thing that came up for there is access to work and audiences and development, and how to work as a freelancer and supporting each other and supporting everything else that's going on in the city. So from doing all of that activity and doing that last event, it really helped us form and shape what we want Slap to be like and how we want Slap to continue on. So yeah, that's everything in the past few years, I think.
So what are the biggest challenges you've had to face then in trying to create a new festival?
Okay, yeah, the biggest challenge is probably because a lot of the time people think Slap's an organisation, and it's not. It's two people and some laptops and a coffee shop, and that's where we're based. We have no infrastructure, we're not in a building, we have no venue, and it's... So one of the biggest challenges is making those partnerships with the right people in the city, and... getting the money, which is often really hard for everybody. So it's working with people, building up relationships and partnerships, working out how they can support you, whether it's through money or support in kind, and then that you can use that to get funding. And also then it's a logistic crazy nightmare as well, going, okay, we've got 14 events, we've got these on here, how's that going to work? And to be flexible at the whole time. So right now we had, this has just been announced today, we've had to change venue of the Pink Suits workshop, because that was meant to be at Spark York, but we've had such a massive interest in it that we could only take 12 people, and now people have just been wanting it and wanting it, so we've had to move to a bigger venue. Wow. So we can take more. But in a weird way, being a small team, it actually enables you to make quick changes like that, because you don't have to go through 10 other people to make it happen. So yeah, just making it happen actually, and keeping morale high for yourself is also a really hard thing. I think that's a thing that's ignored in the arts a lot, actually, how hard you have to work as an artist, especially in administration roles and planning and marketing and all of this stuff that you had absolutely no training how to do, and you've just got to learn and fumble along the way and kind of do it. And I think it is a great way how to learn, but yeah, it can be really stressful. And then in the run-up, as I was saying before, I'm running off caffeine and anxiety. And yeah, and just having that go, how do you fit in self-care around that? Mm. That's probably a really, really big challenge for all artists, actually, especially in today's field where you might be working on 4 or 5 different things at the same time, enough to, just to make ends meet and pay your rent. And then you're like, oh gosh, I haven't like sat down in 3 days. So yeah, that's probably...
Is that something you struggle with? Because we spoke before and you said you're doing a master's at the moment, you're doing your own work with commissions and the festival. Do you find it difficult to have the right hat on at the right time?
Yeah, well, you just have to be really, well, not strict with yourself, but just know and just be firm. So about 4 or 5 months ago, I decided to put on the bottom of my email, my main office hours are 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. Tuesday to Friday. Of course, I end up answering emails outside of the hours, but just doing that little thing has enabled people to go, oh, she's just a person, and one person doing all of these different things. And it's really important to do that and just to let people know that you are human. But then also just to go, my calendar's, I'm a bit crazy. Alessandra, you've seen, haven't you, how crazy I am with my email folders and my calendar. I just section out time, and I go from this time to this time, I'm going to work on this, from this time to this time, I'm going to work on that. And it is manageable, but sometimes you can feel, ah, but I think right now I'm in a state of, ah, because it's next week right now, but this will come,
this week. It's this week.
It's this week. Yeah. But Yeah, it's just being smart with yourself and knowing what you can do. And then one of the most powerful things as an artist is saying no and actually knowing that you can say no. I suppose this is really useful for people that are just starting out to hear, because you just go, yes, 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 I'm going to take everything. And sometimes you're doing something and you go, why am I doing this? And you just have to make sure the things that you do are the things that you love. And so me and Sophie as well have talked a lot, because we have 70-30 split and we have slap. And we've just planned that those two things are going to be main focus and like how that is going to work. So we know we've got slap finishes in February, then 70-30 split of a premiere in April. Then we're going to do a little tour of that work, and then the next slap will be bigger event, not our support work, will be April 2020. It feels really crazy planning that far ahead, but it's something that was really hard to do at one point, but now has become, as I've gotten older, I'm going, yes, I'm going to start to plan 3 or 4 years in advance. And actually working on something like Slap allows me to do that, and then I know what I can fit in between. But burnout does happen, and it's okay to burn out. And there has been times where, like a few years ago, when I had a real like, I can't do anything right now, and actually just being honest, and you'd be surprised how many people are like totally cool. I think one big thing that happens with artists and organizers and stuff is email anxiety. It really is a thing. Yeah, they build up, and then you go, oh my God, I've got all these emails. And then you go, I don't know how to answer all these emails. And you don't, and you sit there and shake, and more get there. And it can be really, really be a huge thing. So I think 2 years ago, I spent 3 days organizing my inbox into folders. And now this sounds insane. It probably slightly is, but I went through everything. And now I have this really insane folder system. So my inbox, if something's in there, I know I have to attend to it. And the second it's done, it goes straight into the correct folder. So now I only have, as it comes, like on a morning, I have quite a lot. But then through the day, as I see it like disappear to nothing, it just feels really good. And it's just enabled me to like work my brain better and do that.
That's such a kind thing to do.
Yeah, seriously, take some time to give your inbox some love. That'd be a great tip. Yeah, and just because then when you see white space at the bottom of the emails, it just makes your head feel great. And you're like, I've got there. Yeah. Instead of it just being one massive inbox and you're like, I don't know where anything is and how to start. So, yeah, that's how I'm, little management things.
We've already touched briefly on money and you know how that like affects the work that you create. Slap Festival is pay what you feel. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that works and where that came from? And
sure. It's pay what you can, pay what you feel. Yes. So we decided to do the pay, like sliding pay scale. We were inspired actually by Leeds Queer Film Festival, who then they were inspired by Khalifa Collective, I think it is. We've put the links to both of those websites on our website just to show that that's where we got the idea from. And when I saw that at Leeds Queer Film Festival, I was like, that's just so brilliant. Because with Slap and conversations that we've had, we've just thought that, we don't want anything. We want to try and remove as many barriers to access as possible for people to engage with art. And we really feel that financial situations shouldn't affect that. So that's why we came up with the three brands, £3, £6, £9 and £12. So normally a 1 hour show is actually more expensive than about £15 is normally the amount you'd pay. And we were just like, that's really unobtainable for a lot of people. And I feel that that shouldn't stop people from being able to do it. And a big thing that we do as well, you just choose which one feels right for you. And we will never ask anyone to prove why they've paid that, because that's just totally illegal. But it's just whatever feels right for you in those brands and what's within your means. The reason we have kept it that it does cost something is just because, of course, we have to pay artists and do all of those things. But another thing is as well, we're like, we're doing it. This is here. And it would be much better that people were there instead of pricing our tickets at £15 and only having 10 people come. We'd rather price them at an optional pay scale and have a lot of people be able to come. Because if you're making work or presenting work or bringing work and putting it on a platform, there's no point if there's no one there. And actually the work that we program is really touching about real life things. A lot of it's autobiographical work, and we feel that there's just a wide range of people that can really like connect with that, and we want those people to be able to experience it and be there. So the Pay What You Can felt the right thing for us. We've worked out if you do, because some events are free as well, if you do everything in the festival altogether, it can cost as little as £21.
Wow.
To do absolutely everything. And then I know we've got a student offer, so that's £15, I think, to
that's
do everything in the festival. So, yeah, we were just like, and we worked really hard so that we do have some funding and some support to be able to make sure that all of our artists get paid no matter what. But it's just, we wanted to do that just so that, yeah, everyone can engage, because that's really important to us. And that's why we've really increased our access across the whole festival as well. So we've only used venues that have flat or ramped access, that have lifts inside, that have toilets for everybody. And we've got 2 BSL interpreted shows and 2 shows that are captioned as well. And most of our shows as well, it doesn't matter if you need to leave and come back during. That's all cool. Everything's really relaxed, and so that everyone can experience and enjoy together.
That's really amazing.
Yeah. So how did you set about programming this festival?
Yeah, so actually program this one, we didn't do this one through Open Call, but we do different events that are through Open Call throughout the year. And from those, we meet lots of artists, and sometimes those artists aren't quite right for that project. So there is one with the works off called Boundaries. It didn't work out right for the Mediale, but we loved the work and we loved those guys, and we were like, right, yes, we would really like that to be a part of the festival. Then we go see a lot of work. So I went to see Fat Girl Singing actually as part of Works Ahead at Zed Arts in Manchester. And as soon as I saw it, the show made me laugh and cry and feel amazing and uplifted. And Emma's such an amazing performer that as soon as the second I got home, I tweeted her, like DM'd her, and I was like, hey, I do this thing in York. Would you be interested in coming? And I was from there. And others are people that we know really well. So we know Beth and Joseph, who have choreographed the Form Project. And this is a brand new work. So this will be like a premiere at York Theatre Royal. And then after that, it's going to Latitude Festival and things like this. Yeah, so yeah, it's really cool. But we haven't seen the work, but we know it's in development and we know them and we trust what they're doing. So we're really excited to have a complete premiere. Then, of course, Northern Rascals, we met as part of our Slap Muse thing. Ali Matthews, who's doing Ballad of Isosceles, we met from doing the Mediale project, and we wanted to have some works during the day that were intimate for smaller audiences, and she had this work, Ballad of Isosceles, and we were like, that would be perfect, so we brought that in. Then with Ben Mills, that's actually a Slap commission, really, is because we knew we wanted to use the De Grey rooms, but we wanted to use it in a way that it's never been used before, and we were like, we want to do a performance for one audience member in that giant room. And we just loved the idea that it was for one person, because normally one-to-ones are often in very small spaces, intimate like this, and that De Grey rooms is often in cabaret seating or things like that. And we're like, how amazing would it be?
The ballroom.
Yeah, the ballroom.
Wow.
So it's a one-on-one performance in the ballroom with a choir.
Oh, wow.
There's a choir, one performer, and you get served
a drink.
You get a drink as well, and that's free. I think there's like 8 slots left for it, so that's probably going to be a lot less when this goes out. But we're trying to think, we might have some standby on the day for that, because I think quite a lot of people will want to experience that. But we're super excited. And with that, we knew we had this idea that we wanted a performance for one person in that ballroom. And then we were like, what artists do we know that we really like and we want to support and we know that could work with that and do something really amazing? And then we've known Ben Mills for a long time. I've actually made a work with Ben. And we were like, Ben. We want Ben. And then So yeah, that's how we program. Oh, and Samir, the zombie work looks like God. We saw that in very early stages, both me and Sophie, as part of the Performing Gender Festival, which was at Yorkshire Dams. And we both saw it, and it's so visceral and so human and really evoked a lot of feelings in both of us. And we were just like, that's amazing. And again, it's something different for York. It's, you can go in and out of it. It's on for 2 hours. Wow. And there's a film being shown downstairs in John Cooper's studio, and there's a bar, and you can just go in, and how he's completely personified a zombie is just, it's something really special and really amazing. It's one of the best, like, physical things, I can't even know how to describe it, I've seen in such a long time, that was like, I really want people to experience that and witness that. And then the last one, Dry Hump. So Live Art Bistro are based in Leeds, mm-hmm. and they do amazing work, and they put on some of the best parties around. They close Leeds International Festival twice. They did it last year with Mickey Blanco, and they've just announced Tommy Cash this year for the closing party, which I'm like so excited for. And we really trust in what they do, and actually we give them some money and we let them have free reign to do that. And they've got some really amazing, we've got Lucy McCormick, Sam 1, Sam 2. Yeah, what they do is great and so support. They have their big ethos is you do you. That is like their catchphrase, and it really is that, and everyone can be who they want to be, however, in such a supportive environment, and lots of really great queer performance. And last year was a lot of male acts, and this year is really focusing on the femme and what that is. So it's really, really exciting to have that as our closing party at the Crescent, which is a great place as well. So that's kind of how we programmed. And maybe as well, we programmed stuff that's like, one's more of a traditional sit-down show, one's a dance work for families, one's a new dance work. Two, there's a live art performance where you can actually move around in. Then there's an installation, which is Looks Like God. There's one where you experience as two audience members at a time or one audience member. So we decided, like, what's little tasters of all the wide breadth of what live art is or contemporary performance is, so that you have the option to kind of experience a whole breadth of work that all kind of sits under that umbrella, so you get to do a taster of everything.
Would you say that that's like your sort of artistic vision or like ethos, or is there also something else that sort of ties the festival together?
So I think with York, this one as well, we really thought about York. We were going to go with a theme of Joe's works about a certain thing or anything like that, and in the end when we were like looking at different work and putting it together, we were like, it doesn't feel right this time round to have a theme. What our theme is kind of this time is experience, so that people get to experience such a wide range of different things, and access really is our focus on this one. And we feel that that's probably our theme, because within York as well, this is a sort of work, it's new ground for audiences in York completely, this sort of work. So it's really about allowing people to engage with that, and hopefully they love it because we love it. And everyone that's seen a lot of these works, and these works, I guess, they're very successful national, international artists that perform all over. So yeah, we just wanted to bring all of that to York. The stuff that we see in other cities like Leeds or Manchester or Newcastle or Glasgow, London, and bring that feel of that festival, and also that more sort of European feel as well to York, which... York has an amazing cultural offer. There's so much stuff, but we feel that this is something that's new for the city, and we just want people to engage and enjoy it and do that in a really safe, supported environment. I know that live art or contemporary performance can get marred by people going, "Ooh, that's like, it's not for me. It's like, it's really elitist or all of that stuff." And we really, we don't like that type of work at all. I don't want, it's really hard to go to watch a show that you need like a PhD in art to understand. And that's just not what we're about. We like stories that are about connection, humanity, people. And that's why we're called Social Live Art Performance, because that's what interests us and makes us like tick, really. And so to bring those stories to other people is really important. Because a lot of this is stories, it's just told in a slightly different way. And most people that we've put on stuff before, so many places, and the amount of times where people go, that was just amazing, I've never seen anything like that, I've never felt that before. And that's just so special when people come to us, especially when a lot of the times people come and they have no idea what they're coming to. And then they watch that and they go, first of all, like, oh, it's a bit, and then they're like, wow, like, I've never felt like that. Or I've never seen someone do that or experienced that. And that's the most special thing.
That's amazing.
So great.
Yeah. This is such a harsh question.
Okay.
Do you have a festival highlight that you're looking forward to?
Oh, it is a really hard question. A really hard question. I would say I'm really excited to see Emma again, Fat Girl Singing, because I saw the show in an earlier phase, so I'm excited. I need to pick a few to see where it's developed. And again, I feel that this is something that the work is just about something that everyone that has a body can engage with. How she talks about how people don't fit the model or the ideas of society, and she's an amazing singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. And her songs in that, and because it's BSL interpreted as well, like, I'm so excited for so many things around that show. I'd probably say, what else, The Mesmerist I'm excited for, because that's the first time it's for younger audiences, but adults can totally come too and they'll have a great time. And this is new ground for us. Like, I have no idea. Like, it's so exciting to connect with that younger audience and hopefully, like, ignite something in them and build that on. And then, oh, there's so much that I really am excited for. Dry Hump, of course.
Yeah.
Because I think by then I'll be able to relax. Because it's the last thing of the festival.
So what do you do during the festival week?
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Crazy.
What don't I do? So all of us, well, Alessandra, it's so good that we have Alessandra here on placement. So for Wednesday is the start. Actually, we'll start on Monday. Let's go through that. Monday we'll be meeting with all the master students from York St. John and doing a run through of what they're doing. Because again, that's all brand new work, which
wow,
we haven't seen. So we have to plan out how that works. And then Tuesday will be lots of final, just checking off, like finalizing everything, making sure everyone knows where they are, make sure all the schedules are correct. But that's actually this week as well. Wednesday we have a get-in to Spark York and John Cooper Studio. So both of those venues are completely empty, so they need everything taken in. So we have a huge delivery of seating bank and sound and lights going to Spark York. And the same thing happening at John Cooper Studio. All the lighting has to be rigged, all sound has to be put in, everything, a bar has to be made, all of that. Then that Wednesday night, we'll have the Slap Scratch, so they'll have been teching and all of that. And some of our artists arrive, so people have to go greet them at the station. And we put all of our artists in this big house together on Airbnb.
Oh, lovely.
And so, like, at different times, people, we always like to greet our artists at the station. So we go and then we'll do that. So that'll be all timed out. Then we'll have the Slap Scratch. That'll happen. And then that'll have to be packed down that night. And the chairs have to be taken away because that space has to be set up for the spoken word workshop the next day. Well, that's been happening. So then the spoken word... Tamar and Joe, we have a community project which has a community cast at York Dance Space. So Tamar and Joe, who are leading that, will arrive the Thursday morning, go over there, meet their cast, and they'll have 2 days of rehearsal. And wonderfully, Alessandra is looking after that group of people. Well, it's that day. What will be... There'll be Emma's get-in, so she'll arrive with her van, with her set, get into the Theatre Royal, and then, so there'll be three things going on. Emma will be doing her get-in, and Antonio and Ricardo will be doing their get-in at John Cooper Studio, and there'll be the Unseen Beings workshop going on, and the Spoken Word workshop. So that's all a lot, and then that'll happen. Then that'll be get-outs all that night, and then the same thing on the Friday we'll have the Pink Suits workshop, the community project going on, get-ins on both the theatres, then we'll have the shows that night. That night at Theatre Royal has to completely pack down because we've got an 11 a.m. show on the Saturday And they've got a lot of lights, which is the family-friendly show, so that has to go in the night before has to be rigged. And then they have their next day will be in free venues at 9 a.m. So Ali will be running during the day at John Cooper's studio. So we'll be there and we have to brief the team. And I'll be doing the same at the De Grey Rooms with the choir arriving and the bar being set up and Ben arriving and the volunteers. Then we'll have to run and watch the Mesmerist. And then throughout that, then the Mesmerist has a pack down and the new show, which is Theseus Beefcake, will go into the Theatre Royal that night, all throughout the Saturday day as well. Live Art Bistro will be at the Crescent setting up and doing their thing. And then within that, we've got loads of stuff to run around. So we have to get these like mats for the wrestling ring for Theseus Beefcake from York St. John University over to the theatre. Then there'll be the outdoor performance of the Unseen Beings, the community project. Then we'll have to tech because they're doing one in the foyer at 6:30 at the York Theatre Royal. Then it'll be Theseus Beefcake. Then it will be dry hump. And then the next day we'll have to wake up at like 8 a.m. because all of our stuff will have to be packed down in the venues and the van's coming to do the get out of each venue. So even on the Sunday, it doesn't stop. Yeah. And then Sunday night, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I'm going away the weekend after to Northumberland and I'm going to do some hiking. And then...
Just what you want.
Yeah. No, just to like... Just some hiking, spend some time with nature with my phone turned off. And then when I get back from that, I'll be paying everybody's invoices, doing all of the forms. And then it'll be evaluation for the Arts Council.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that's a lot. But that's what the week of a festival.
So there's nothing she doesn't do, actually.
Wow. You just sit back and watch other people bring the chairs in and out.
No, that's the thing.
Hard work.
Yeah, it's just me and Sophie, and then we have some technicians, and we have a bar person, and that's it. That's what it is like with a small team. You are doing, and all the whole time, getting about many, many emails a day. It's really bad at the moment. I don't feel like I'm engaging with anyone in conversation, because I'll be talking to them, but like having to constantly email and type and do that sort of stuff. So that's the life of a very small independent festival person. Yeah.
You've mentioned a couple of other things you've got coming up, and then the next festival is in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any sort of big future plans? Where is Slap going?
Where is Slap going? We'd love to expand.
Mm-hmm.
One of our remits was always to put unusual work in unusual spaces. This time we've done more because we're really focusing on access. That's actually kind of hard in York to do a lot of stuff in unusual spaces. But actually right now we're already in meetings and talking to people about how we can work with them in the future. One of them is DramaSoc from York Uni.
Oh.
We talked with Ben, who's the chair there right now, but he's leaving soon, and I know that. But we've started a dialogue because I actually went to the open drama night. Like, I've been twice now.
Have you?
And I was just like, this is amazing. How great is this? Like,
did you see the most recent one?
Yes.
That was so good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, actually with that, I talked about afterwards, I was like, I kind of want to see an anthology show all around food.
Yeah.
Because how the two sat next to each other and, yeah.
No, we'll shout out Aisling Lally, who wrote the most recent Open Drama Night at the University of York. That was amazing.
Yeah, totally amazing. And we were invited the week before by Sharia, who did the Bride-to-Be. And that was really great. And actually, one thing that Slap doesn't do yet is new writing. Mm-hmm. But just when I was there and I saw the energy in that space and that place, I was like, how can we work together? How can we support the next generation of people in the city? Because that's another big remit for us. We really want to help artists in the north to make work in the north and keep them in the north, which is really important because people finish their university degrees and just go. And it's like, how do we retain those people? Can we create opportunities? So, okay, the next festival is not going to be for a while, but within that time, we're wanting to create connections and build more partnerships. We've got some really strong partnerships with the York Theatre Royal and York Dance Space already, and we've worked with the Mediale and Festival Ideas, but it's like, how can we connect and work with other people as well, and also other companies that are here. So it, the aim for SLAP is, yeah, to help support work in the North and keep it here in the North as well, and also bring really great artists to York to create work in the city and meet other people in the city. And then just to help people in the city engage with arts in a really laid back and fun way instead of a high pressured sort of way. So just to see that grow and for it to grow for us in the ways that we can help and support people is really, really important for us, and have other people involved and hang around. So it's crazy because, like, now the festival, we are starting conversations with people now to plan ahead and how that works. But yeah, so that would be the dream.
Amazing.
And then to be just, there's so many buildings and places that I see that I'm like, that would be great. I want to put something here. I have a work. I'm like, that would be amazing there. And just to be able to do those things and stuff like that. Yeah, that's hopefully future plans, just to get bigger and better. And yeah, support as much as we can and just do lots of really cool things for people to do. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So at the end of every podcast, we've been asking our guests for some advice for people looking to enter the theatre industry.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell someone that's looking to
get into it?
Yeah.
Me and Sophie together have kind of some set rules for this. Is number one is make your work and make good work and make work that you feel confident about. Number two is be nice to your technicians. It's really, really important. You see so many people, and that's kind of an overarching thing, meaning just be like nice to people you're working with, because if you're a great person to be around, people want to work with you, mm-hmm. and you gain a reputation, and then other people gain a reputation of being really difficult to work with, and that is a thing that becomes known. Number three is get involved and go and see as much work as possible. That's one of our big things. When we were at university, we would go and see everything. We'd go to Yorkshire Dance all the time, we'd go to Bradford, we'd go to here, and then people start to know you. And just by them knowing you, often that's how things happen. So I say, like, just from going to other events, so when you go down to London or you go down to a thing, a lot of decisions get made at 3 a.m. in the morning at the after party, things like that. But also go and see work to support what else is going on, and your friends. Go and see your friends' work, and then your friends will come and see your work. That sort of thing. And also seeing work enables you to understand what's been supported and what's out there, because it could be all great and good that you're going to make this work that's going to be like this, but if actually somebody 2 months ago made it and you don't know, that's the thing. And then number four, I don't know if I can I say
swearing?
Yeah, it's
oh,
all
yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. Don't be, well, it's not swearing, but don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And within that, I mean, just be a human and be human to other humans, because there's this thing that, oh, I'm an artist, I'm a director, I'm this. It's like, yeah, but you're a person and I'm a person and we're all people. And even people that are high up with the money that work in the institutions, they're people too. Mm-hmm. And the people that do, everyone's just a person. And to be able to see maybe if someone's a bit touchy that day, to be like, are you okay? That's a big thing that happens a lot in the arts. People go, oh, how are you? And people will reel off all the stuff they're doing. And it was Pauline Mayers that said this to me. She was like, no, not what you're doing. How are you? How are you? And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I'm all right. But it really like made me start back a bit, because you don't get asked that a lot. You get asked what you're doing and who you're working with, yeah. and stuff. It's just those little questions and just those touch-ins. So yeah, that's my four tips. Make good work. Be nice to your technicians. Go and see as much as you can. And don't be a dick.
Amazing.
And then finally, where can people get tickets for SLAP?
Yeah, so, like everything.
Yeah, so all tickets are available through the York Theatre Royal box office. So that's online, on the phone and in person. If you go to www.slapyork.co.uk, the full lineup is there. There's also brochures all around the city. Mm-hmm. There's some in Visit York. There's some at Theatre Royal for definite they're places that keep getting stocked up. We've just a full lineup of everything will be in the evening. It's gone after that. It's been in the evening press on Monday, and it was in there yesterday. think I'm on Minster FM as well. Wow. I don't know what's happening. But yeah, online. And then there will be stuff on the door, but we do advise people to book, especially for those, for the workshops and the one-to-ones and the two-to-ones. Have a look. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's everything.
Amazing.
Cool.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh,
we're
thank you.
Really looking forward to the festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you to Lydia for her time. We're both so excited for the festival.
Yeah, I can't wait to see all the different stuff.
Yeah, it's something that we don't normally get in York, so it's really exciting.
Get your tickets now from the York Theatre Royal box office before it's too late.
Join us on Friday back in our usual slot, where we talk to theatre critic, arts journalist and academic Catherine Love.
And if this is your first time listening, then we've got a few other episodes that you can go back and listen to.
Yeah, so go check them out. See you soon.
Bye.